Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, a Friday. Theme their series, week 3. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what He wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. First pride, then the crash, the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. A Proverbs 16:18. A great football coach once said, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." People close to me would probably say that I'm a little competitive, wink wink. Why would they say that? Maybe because I think or talk about winning all the time. Don't get me wrong, it's healthy to have an inner drive, but I often and sadly always end up taking it too far. The problem is that it's now carried over to both of my kids as well. Last summer, we had a huge family fight at my parents' house. It all stemmed from an outdoor kickball game. Yes, a family kickball game. When I realized that my daughter and her uncle Ake, my brother, were about to fist fight, I realized I had created little monsters. I hate to confess this, but I like to win and to be right. The only problem is following Jesus requires me to realize that winning or being right isn't actually the real win for my life. We may not easily admit it, but many of us like being angry. We may not enjoy up-close conflict, but we often like taking a stance or choosing a side. Christians sometimes even label their anger as righteous, excusing it when we think it's for a good cause. And while righteous anger is a biblical concept, it's worth asking ourselves, is this anger of mine actually righteous, or is it just an excuse for me to prove I'm right? Some anger is good. When something hurts one of God's kids, we should absolutely get angry. But that anger needs to lead to acts of love and compassion, not pride and division, like our kickball game. Ultimately, godly anger prompts us to do something to help. Human anger prompts us to do something that hurts. So let's think about our outrage for a second. Is it possible that our anger is often fueled by pride? Because here's the thing about anger, it often convinces us we're right. And if we're right, that means they're wrong. And if they're wrong, then we win. And that sense of winning, being on the right side, or praising ourselves for our good behavior, really fuels our pride. And like Proverbs tells us many times, pride leads to the crash. Today, spend some time thinking about these questions. Is my anger most often fueled by righteousness or my desire to be right? Is my anger helping others or hurting others? How often is pride the source of my anger? Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it? Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Romans 1, 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God, in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.